Welcome,
Matt Howie.
Welcome,
Jessamine.
Welcome to the Metafilter Podcast.
We should get started on podcast 86.
That's 85.
Oh my god,
the bare minimum. Come on.
Okay.
I was making sure you guys had checked.
I had it written down when I was setting up podcast files, so I actually somehow knew it was 85 for once, but I didn't want to interrupt the
1986 was a good year, though. 85, not so great.
Yeah,
I don't remember anything
for personal reasons or just as a general
yeah,
global index?
What do I know about the rest of the world?
I don't know. Maybe there was something I didn't know about.
My month. So I'm Jessamine and Matt.
Yes, this is me, Matt.
And I'm Cortex. And we're introducing ourselves for once at the start of a podcast. It only took us 85 of them to figure out that that was a good idea.
You know, when I listen to a weird podcast, there is a tension. You know, like especially the first time, but even if I've heard the people in the podcast on other podcasts a zillion times, I'm like, when are they gonna? I think that's, you know, Justin and that's
I had
Kevin.
That problem listening to Key and Peele on a WTF podcast where I wasn't sure at the beginning which one was which. Like, now I know them better, but
right,
at first
yeah.
I was like, I don't know which guy that is.
And there's always like 6 minutes of tension before they actually somehow slip it in there, but yes. Okay, so yeah, 85 in, we're gonna do it.
Yeah, and this is gonna be all last month and a little bit of this month, right? Because I think we started, the last one was just after Labor Day.
I think it was like the 10th or so.
Oh, wow,
yeah, I
was
kind
late?
Of
was it
into
that
it. Yeah, we waited a week and a little more.
Because so, I had my birthday and...
Yeah, anything from the 10th on counts.
All right.
Terrific.
That'll work.
Usually we open with weird stuff like jobs... and I wanted to share that I actually ate some dog food this week by taking a job and doing it, and it was successful, and it worked, and it was great.
I was totally going to do that job, and
then
you did it.
Oh, I saw that job. So you guys want to talk about it so that...
The job is like...
No, let's just be real vague.
I get an email every time someone posts a job just to check, see if they're spam or whatever.
Sure.
So I saw this thing fly over on like a Saturday, and it said, you know, my girlfriend and I spent some time on the Oregon coast last summer, but we have like no mementos to remember it by, and if you're around, can you cruise out there and get like a bag of sand and mail it to me? Because I just don't trust random yahoos on Craigslist, you know, that they'll
sure.
just get sand from their backyard and call it good. And also, I'll pay $100, which was crazy to me. And I told him, like, $40, $50 seems...
Because Newport is how far from you guys?
For me, it's like an hour and a half, so...
Okay.
Last...
I mean, I've been there. It's lovely.
Yeah, last... And it was at this nice... There's a nice lighthouse at this state park right next to the bridge. And, last week, I had something in the afternoon that canceled, so I had nothing to do between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., and I went,
woo.
Like, it's an hour and a half away. I could be there by noon, and I could be home by 2 easily, like, even sightseeing and stuff.
And get
like,
your gas paid for and have a little trip.
Yeah, and so I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'll do it. And it was fun. It rained like hell all the way to the coast, and then... Like, the clouds parted right when I parked.
Aww.
And I had to walk about 5 minutes down to the ocean, and I took pictures of me grabbing sand and putting it in a bag so it was clear. I'll post the pictures in the thread. So
nice.
You can see. So I had to, like, prove it. And then I took this one last picture on my way out of the Newport Bridge, which is beautiful. There was this weird new angle. I'd never seen it before. And as I was rounding my car to get back in, like... It started raining so hard, and like I couldn't see out of the windows by the time I got in my car, like 5 seconds after I took a photo. Like the craziest downpour. If I believed in random sky wizards, like I had such a great time on the coast for 20 minutes. I had like 20 minutes of perfect sun, and it was beautiful, and then it was
nice.
Crazy rain all the other times. And then I had to find a nice jar. You know, it's not easy. I wanted one of those, like, those mason jars with, like, the pressure thing, the clip, you know?
Oh, God, you can't swing a dead cat around here without finding those.
Right, but they don't sell them brand new at any... I went to, like, a craft store. I ended up going to Goodwill. You know, there's all
Is
sorts of jars.
Is that where you found one? At
I
Goodwill?
Didn't find one. I ended up at a craft store. I found, like, a nice ball jar that had no labels or anything on it that was, like, a quart size and... So
yeah,
I filled it up and I
place.
Shipped it, and it's like he was in, I think, Seattle, and so he got it the next day. And I think this is a Christmas present. He's going to put a ribbon around it and a photo from the beach or something like that.
Aww.
Sweet.
So it was pretty cool. It worked out. It was way too much money, and it was a fun diversion for an afternoon.
That was what kind of gave me pause from just like jumping in the car. I was like, yeah, but it's, I don't really specifically need that $100. And maybe someone who's close to the coast would be like, oh man, that'd be great. I'd be happy to do that and I could use the money. And so I was like, I'll think about it. But the next morning I was talking to Angela, but I was like, someone posted a job saying drive to Yukina Bay and get some sand. And
is that how you pronounce that?
That's how I say it.
Well, no, I don't know. I'm not trying to start shit.
I don't know if that's the accepted pronunciation.
Yeah,
I haven't spent enough time there. So.
Okay.
But I was like, hey, someone posted this. She's like, well, do you want to drive to the beach? I was like, maybe we should drive to the beach. and then I went and checked on the job was good. I was like, let's not drive to the beach.
Well, yeah, I emailed them before I left for like, you know, 10 a.m. just saying, hey, they want to take this job because it'd been up for a couple days. And it, you know, went through a weekend. And they said, no one did it. So I said, oh, well, you know, I think I'm going to do it. And then luckily he marked it as filled later that afternoon.
Nice.
Seems like a good one to try and get filled when it looks like it's going to fill, because you don't want to like five people driving to the beach and saying, hey, where's my $100?
Exactly. What the hell,
right,
man?
Yeah, and that was in the MeFi Jobs kind of chatty post on MetaTalk by I cannot pronounce his username. The guy from Rhode Island that we talk about in every podcast now, who just hired a MeFi for his job, at his job, and was very happy about it.
Yeah, I've always wondered how to handle this, because about once every 6 months, someone just says, oh, hey, I hired someone. It was great. And I'm like, I wish we had a success story section or something.
Or you could put a little star next to it, like, you know,
this
success.
This is also
whatever.
Great. A super favorite.
I did a Metafilter job once. I think I told you guys there was somebody who was fluent in a different language and needed to make sure their master's thesis made sense in English because they had like a trilingual committee. And so he sent me documents and I kind of proofread them and then sent them back to him. And I think he chipped in some money. I can't remember. But he also sent me like a sausage and some chocolates, like one of those totally like dank Austrian sausages, like the kind where you get the package and it's a little greasy and you're like, I am in such trouble. But it turned out it was delicious. Sweet. Probably couldn't even legally be sent to me, but was a fun little thing to do.
And I also was like, part of me has this problem with, well, I mean, if they're a really active Metafilter user, do you want them working for you? Because you know they're going to be screwing around on this website. Like, it's slightly problematic.
Right. I like to think that Metafilter users, in a sense, are reliable because you already sort of know their vice.
You know,
and you've got that in common with them.
Hanging out online.
Yeah, if you see them hanging out on Metafilter, you know, you can be sort of like, oh, okay, that's what they're doing. And also you can be sort of like, hey, Metafilter, but keep an eye on it, buddy. Without it being like, hey, what's that you're looking at, Bob? It basically, if you ever find them looking at anything other than Metafilter, then you have to start giving them a hard time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Are there any other interesting, do you want to move on to projects, I guess?
Yeah,
projects.
I didn't have much to talk about jobs, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, everything else is a pretty normal job. I only had a couple projects marked off.
I only had a couple, too. It was kind of, it's funny, like, the site's been really busier this month, but projects was less busy than it had been over the summer.
Yeah, I think everybody's back at school. They have to put their creative efforts into, passing classes or teaching classes or whatever.
Whatever it is they do at school.
Making kids lunch. All those school-related things that start happening.
I enjoyed this thing that Rajbot did called the Kiva Interest Rate Finder. One of the things about Kiva, which I know lots of people have a love-hate relationship about, is that the people who do the actual lending charge varying amounts of interest. And so some of the partners at Kiva charge like 100% interest, which is bullshit. And Kiva makes it not as easy as they could to figure out who's charging low or no interest. And so this was a little script to figure out how that works.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what it was.
There's a mysterious interest. So, you know, you may lend $50, but then they lend $50 to the person, but maybe the person then needs to pay back 102, which makes it significantly less interesting.
Yeah, it's really strange the way Kiva, maybe it's not Kiva's doing, it's the way Kiva is discussed online, but I know people who, like, they go, well, I could stick $1,000 in a CD that makes 3%, or I could put $1,000.
Oh, the people are like, grump, 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 it's not a good interest.
No, they actually say it's not bad. They go, you know, you put in $1,000, you can get 5 to 10% interest back after a year. And I'm like, but is that good for everyone? Like,
is that ethical?
Right, well, like, I have put, I think I looked up my lifetime giving on Kiva. I think I've put $1,000 into Kiva over the last few years, and it's worth something like, I don't know, $1,200 or $1,300. Like, it really has grown over, like, 5 years a little bit.
That's a pretty amazing rate of return, actually.
I know, but I don't feel good about it. Like, you know, I was
right.
It should be $1,000, you know, still. You know, and I get the emails every couple months where it says, you have $3,850, go ahead and recharge, you know, re-lend it, and I do that whenever I can. And the metaphor...
I didn't know if you gave money into Kiva as, like, a person, you got any money back.
You like, can pull it out, I guess, when all your... I mean, you do have to
besides
wait.
Besides just your regular money.
Yeah, you could pull it out when you... If you wait for all your loans to pay off and you don't re-lend it, you'll technically get the money back.
With interest, though, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. And there is... Yeah, it's grown... It probably grows by 100%. I mean 10% a year, I would guess. Maybe, or maybe a little less. 5. I don't expect any growth, you know. That's not why I do it, so...
Right.
The Metafilter group is coming up on $100,000 loaned in the last 3 years or so, which is nice.
And then it got posted to Metafilter where there was a short thread about it. I just thought it was a neat little...
Yeah, I had no idea they were charging like 100% interest, but people showed that a lot of these are short-term, like three-month loans. So, it's 100% on an annual basis, but, you know, maybe they only paid 20% if they did it in a month.
Right.
But, I mean, I've also seen Kiva loans go for 9 months or a year, year and a half, stuff like that. I've had very few. Have you had any, crumble on you?
No, the only two that I did, I kind of became disenamored of Kiva and decided to, you know, start giving some of my money locally instead. But, mine just took longer than they were supposed to, which was not a big deal. And I kind of figured that's kind of one of the things you assume might happen.
Yeah.
But none of them fell apart, no.
Yeah. Did I put that? Right. I like this 5,000 selfies.
I didn't even click on that. I did see it, though.
It's just strange. It's a YouTube video of, I assume these are found art or objects. Of just selfies, and they're kind of like, you could watch the video because they just hammer through. He like centered the eyes in the right spot, and it's just
Colin,
like
CMYR did it.
Yeah, it's just like a zillion selfies. I don't know why it's like mesmerizing.
It's weird.
That's a lot of work.
And it doesn't have any music, or mine's just playing.
There's
without music.
There's some music.
YouTube just plays quietly. Like, it starts with no music anymore lately.
Does it
know I'm on Skype?
I have some weird problem where YouTube just skips to the end for me, and I've talked to other people, and that randomly happens to them every couple years.
Weird.
Like, I'll see 2 seconds of a video, and then it'll jump to the end, and it's some sort of weird cookie user error. If I log out, it works fine. It's crazy. And if you Google search it, there are thousands of people going, hey, YouTube's kind of broken for me now, and I don't know why, and nobody has a good fix for it. Yeah, it's sad.
Huh.
Did you see the digital covers for books?
Me?
It was posted to MeFi by Tony-san? Tony-san?
Yeah. Tony-san.
I never pronounce it that way in my head. It was posted to Metafilter, and if you look, it's just a beautiful giant Flickr set.
No, he does wonderful work. I don't know how I missed this at all.
There wasn't... I had to go, like, are these... I guess these are just scan covers, because I've never seen... I don't see any childhood book I recognize. So I can't tell if... Oh, I remember that, because I don't. But they're all these amazing, like, 60s, 50s... artwork on the front of books.
Adventures in Space, Science Fun with Milk Cartons. There's got to be one that I've seen.
I know. None of these are
Bubbles
ringing.
The Whale, there's Reptiles those, and those, Their Life.
Those old Golden books look
Hey, here's a picture of Fred Gwynne looking exactly like you, Matt.
What?
Not
Where?
Exactly like you.
This isn't going to be like that naked Breaking Bad guy.
No,
that guy looks like my dad.
Well, that's what I mean. He looks like he could be kin to you. He doesn't look like you personally.
Yeah. Wow. Weird.
That kind of mesomorphic.
But yeah.
Oh, Wii Pals. I read
Wii
Pals.
Someone took you into, put you in the Oblivion character editor and then started tweaking the chin.
Yeah. Yeah, wait, some of these, oh God, some of these are school books.
They had Tom and Jerry books? Gene Autry Western books for kids. That's weird.
Your Breakfast and the People Who Made It? Tony San's younger than us, I think, right? Or our age? I don't know how old he is. And
Annette Funicello books, holy cow.
Yeah, this is Mr. Zip and the U.S. Mail. See, I want these books. So this is just a scanning project and stuff he put online, and then it was posted to Metafilter. Talk me through it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think it's one of those cool things where the like new Flickr set view is it kind of works pretty good for like old archives.
Because you can just scroll through a bazillion of them.
And they're all the same size.
I don't hate new Flickr. Like, there's certain things that I despise about it. Mm-hmm. But not most of it anymore.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. Like they rolled out the new one and the phone app, and I remember hearing a bunch of people saying, "Holy crap, Flickr, you're back!" And then like a month later, I was like, "Man, I fucking hate new Flickr." It's like this whiplash of because I don't look at it often enough. I've really not been interacting with it much at all for the last year or two. But you know, I go into it every once in a while. I was like, "Oh yeah," I mean, it was really noticeable when it changed, and I was like, "It's different," and it's still whatever. It's Flickr.
Mike Mulligan and the Steam Shovel, finally.
Something I remember that one.
That was the plot of Pacific Rim. you guys all saw Pacific Rim, right?
No.
Giant robots and aliens?
No.
All right.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's the best popcorn movie in the world.
Like, I'm trying to make a porn joke here, but... It's I can't crazy. Come up with anything.
Pacific Rim, like it's a new movie. I'm looking at. Is that a polar bear? What am I looking at?
No, it came out last summer. Famous. It was huge. It was robots fighting monsters from the ocean.
How did I miss it? It looks like something I would like. Is it rapey? There's got to be some reason I didn't watch it.
No, it's just a big dumb action movie. It's Guillermo del Toro directing.
Those are my favorite.
It's like the greatest. You should totally see it. Drive-in movie ever. I'm surprised you didn't see it.
The worst thing you can say about it is it's a big action movie of the sort that would involve giant robots fighting giant monsters. So
I have no problem with that.
Don't worry about it being too intellectual.
There's a tiny subplot, minor thing where it's like we have all this new technology, but the old technology can save our day. And I went, Mike Mulligan can do it. Is what I was thinking in the theater, like get the steam shovel.
Wasn't there a thread like that in one of the Sherlock Holmes? No, what am I thinking of? Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones.
Men in Black.
Men in Black 3 had an aspect to that, but I may be confusing it. No, I'm thinking of...
They went back in time for that one or something, I think.
No, I'm thinking of the other one, the last James Bond movie.
James Bond was definitely that, yeah.
Where they definitely had, like, a hipster computer guy, but he had to work together with, the person who could make a gun out of sticks to...
That was the most depressing James Bond I've ever seen because it was just, it was kind of like, I'm really old and outdated and this whole thing doesn't even exist anymore. And like, why are we here? Oh yeah, let's just drive a car with no electronics in it and I'll fire an old-fashioned gun for the hell of it because, and the movie's over. And you're like, well, I don't know if that was
Not only are my parents dead, but now my childhood home is destroyed and my mentor has, everything
about it. I
started
walking out of the theater going, was that a good use of 2 hours of my time? Like, I don't know if anybody had a good time.
It sort of depends how you feel about Daniel Craig, right?
Yeah.
I could watch him do his taxes, so, I don't care.
Does he come out of water in slow motion with no shirt on at any point?
Well, he falls into the water. I don't remember if he comes out of it in slow motion, but I'm sure there's a water. And isn't that the one that Javier What's-His-Butt is in? And he is amazing. He's the best part of the movie, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think
but they shoot the lady, and the Metafilter people argued about the lady.
Oh yeah. I think my 40th birthday was a couple weeks before it last year, so I was feeling old and outdated and useless, and so that movie was like painful.
Well, see, and I was going to say I like stories where you take sort of like the really vital hero dude and then you age him up a bit. Like, stories with an older Batman are always sort of interesting.
So you've been enjoying all the Sylvester Stallone rehashes lately, huh?
I actually haven't seen like any of those, oddly enough. I mean, there's shit that I would sit down and watch if it was on TV, but since TV is Netflix for me, I kind of have to decide to, and so I haven't really, you know, I tend to watch crappy old horror movies instead of crappy old, or crappy newer action movie.
Speaking of weird old movie stuff, I just heard from a friend who went to a very early screening of a film. You know what is a thing in Hollywood now? They are going to start remaking all the old 70s Burt Reynolds movies with... They're as remakes with what's
Burt Reynolds in them?
No,
that'd be awesome.
The British dude I was obsessed with. Oh, Statham as Burt Reynolds
as like Smokey and the Bandit with Jason Statham.
Not the big one. The ones where Burt Reynolds is a badass who just has to come in and like punch people,
like Deliverance.
I can't remember the name of the
Deliverance.
I would pay $1 billion to see Jason Statham as Burt Reynolds in a remake of Deliverance. I don't even know how that would work.
But once
just
I heard
Statham
it...
Statham is fine in action movies.
Oh, no, cause... I like him. I like him. He's just, he's not Burt Reynolds. They're, like, very different, like, characters, you know.
In fact, I think he's a lot like Daniel Craig. Like, he's built and he can be in action movies. He has almost no range.
Yeah.
And, you know, he does things you... I mean, yeah. They're both, like, really thin, and so they wear clothes really well, which matters, I guess. I don't know.
They're broody. They've got a little bit of gravitas.
Yeah, broody, exactly.
Enough.
Exactly.
So is there anything else in projects? I had one last one I wanted to mention.
I have one other one, too. So wait, what's your...
I got a couple, too, yeah.
Mine was the Python for Poets being taught by Lupus Yunderboy in, I think, Brooklyn. And just because it's going to start in, like, 2 weeks or a week... he's trying a program of teaching everyone like six sessions, like about an hour and a half each time, like teaching Python to just random people.
And it's like, in real life? It's not.
Yeah,
you can't
it's in
take
real
it
life, and it's in Brooklyn. It's some Bushwick Collective Arts Incubator. But sounds like.
Good.
I mean, Python is a nice beginner language, and, you know. Especially in Brooklyn, there are a billion jobs. Like, Etsy will hire anyone that knows Python.
Seeing his photograph, now I recognize a guy on Twitter who I couldn't identify. Perfect.
So, yeah, that starts October 19th. So if you're in Brooklyn and you want to learn how to program, check it out before it's gone.
Nice. That's cool. I really liked, I found this elsewhere before I found it back at Projects, but Jaws the Text Adventure. Posted on Projects by Malevolent last month. And I saw this pop up on, I think, Rock Paper Shotgun, which is a PC gaming blog that I really like. And I was just like, oh, that's adorable. And I sort of checked it out. And I was like, this is... Because it's like... It's exactly what it sounds like, except for you're playing as the shark is the thing. So it's a text adventure where you're checking out the ocean and looking for, you know...
Oh, also, the UI is like a Commodore VIC-20 or something from 1984.
Yeah, it's like an old ZX Spectrum
It's unbelievably
style
beautiful.
Thing. I mean, the whole thing's new. It's an HTML5, but, you know, intentionally retro styling.
The scan lines on the screen, like, how did they? That's amazing.
It's smart programming.
Yeah. It's really well done.
Yeah, I would definitely go check it out because it's delightful. You will laugh. I like
sound.
That.
God, they made crazy music. Oh, wow.
Here's a thing that I liked from... I feel like every podcast, there's like one person who's got things in like multiple places. And Igniknocked created just a weird thought tree code essay builder. Basically, he had a friend who was like an internet friend who then disappeared. And he's like, what happened to my friend? And his whole thought process for... And you know, it turned out his friend was in jail. For working this all out, he wound up building a little code thing to kind of explain it. But it's beautiful to look at. It's kind of like what we all hoped, kind of thought tree. What is that stuff called where you make...
Mind mapping?
We all hoped mind mapping was going to be... But mind mapping always was awful, and everything was wibbly, and it gave everybody dizzy... spells.
This is kind of like choose your own adventure. It's weird with stuff in real life.
Yeah, well, and he just explains little things, but it actually, if you want to know, like, what happened to Igniknock's friend, you can click through this and actually get a very good idea of not only what happened, but, like, extra information about stuff you might want more information about, and I found it remarkably easy to understand what had happened, number one, quickly, and number two, what he thought about it, kind of. You know what I mean?
So yeah, it's the weirdest.
I think about how to express, like, a lot of times you talk to your friend and you're like, what happened? Well, I used to know this guy who, la la la, and you know, it's 15 minutes in before he, and he was in jail.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, what, what? So I really enjoyed clicking through to hear his story and all that stuff.
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah, it's the strangest interface in the world for this sort of thing, but it actually works perfectly. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I would really enjoy it if it was available so I could build little, let me tell you a story this way instead of la 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 la. Linear doesn't always work the best for storytelling. So I pulled that out and I enjoyed it.
Well, yeah. I wonder if, because it's funny, this is sort of like, this is pretty similar to what people are doing these days with Twine, which I think I talked about a few episodes ago, which is sort of like a choose your own adventure builder. I haven't looked at how that was built. It's possible that could even be a really slick implementation of a Twine design, but it feels like it's maybe a little bit more custom built. But yeah, that whole narrative branching thing, you could really kind of do that yourself at this point with Twine, if not quite as slick looking. So yeah, I don't know.
Sweet. Any other projects, or you want to move on
that
to
was
Metafilter?
It for me.
I have one more. I just liked this some t-shirt from JezTech. It's dangerous to go alone.
You love all JezTech's t-shirts.
Yeah. They make great t-shirts, but this is like particularly close to my heart because it's like it's a bunch of designs, like big iconographic things from various video games, various classic 2D video games.
Yeah,
composed entirely of the masks of art from sprites from those video games. So like the top left one is Link's Master Sword. That's actually just made up from the shape of various characters in the game, like various bad guys that you have to fight.
I get it. I haven't played a single one of these games, which is why the whole thing was mysterious to me.
Yeah, one of them
is Mario. Recognize them.
I didn't even know the titles, and I felt like when you go to a cosplay gallery, and I'm like, I don't know any of these.
That looks like a fancy costume. I wish I knew what it was supposed to be.
I wish I could tell if that was good. If you mouse over long enough, there is like a, they tell you what it is. Like the top middle one is Mario. So then you go,
recognize that name.
Like Mario, Fireball, and those are all the Mario bosses. That makes sense.
Yep. And there's like Metroid and Ninja Gaiden and Castlevania and Master Blaster. Blaster Master, rather.
Oh, and so on. Sorry.
Yes. Let's not play fast and lose. anyway, I thought those were pretty great. So there you go.
Great. Cool. Yay for projects.
Yay for
Move
projects.
On to Metafilter or ask Metafilter?
Metafilter first. I have a billion.
That's how we do.
All right, I have a story to get us started.
Do it.
Which is basically somebody in some kind of slightly grumpy MetaTalk thread was like, something, 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 the Gwar thread. And I was like, Gwar, right? Like, they dress up like monsters and they do the music and whatever. But, like, I like them, but I'm not sure if there's anything more about Gwar I need to know about. But I went to the thread anyhow because somebody said it was a good idea. And this was basically them covering a Billy Ocean song in that sort of Onion thing where they do the music. But the part that is the best is that Mrs. Pterodactyl tells a slightly funny story. No, it actually was more than slightly funny. I thought it was very funny. But basically, you know, a friend who goes to 80s night at the 9:30 club in a members-only jacket, and there was a ton of people in odd clothes moshing, and it was weird, and they wheeled out a giant pink phallus which began spraying the crowd, and he was standing near the bouncer and said, this is the weirdest 80s night I've ever been to. And the bouncer turned to him and said, 80s night? 80s night is tomorrow. You're at Gwar. So that's funny. Then Bulgaroktonos, literally 2 minutes later, says the exact same story.
What?
Because it's his brother-in-law, not his brother.
Wow.
And it turns out they're a married Mephite couple. And just basically told exactly the same story, which everybody thought was the most adorable thing ever. So I just pulled it out. And then whatever, people talk about Gwar, and it's a fun thread. So like,
oh
the Gwar
God.
Thread, great. But then the sort of two stories right in a row, adorable.
Do you want to know something extra funny from the admin back end? They posted from two different IP addresses, so like one was at work and one was at home. It's like they both didn't know they were doing. It wasn't like they were on the same couch.
Right, being like, oh, you see the Guar thing? Yes. So I just thought that was adorable.
That's amazing.
No idea.
But I've never heard of anyone not having a good time at a Guar show, which is cool.
Well, and they seemed kind of fun even in the video. They went into another song kind of partway through also. So it was like somebody was like, wait till the end. And I was like, then what happens? But they just did another cover. But if you like Guar, you'll like that. And if you like Metafilter, you'll enjoy the thread.
Sweet.
And yeah.
What?
I was just gonna repeat you, and then I realized, yeah, I'm just repeating you. So yes, I agree. It was a fun thread.
It's nice when we get along.
I liked a weird little sort of programming meets art thing. There was this great post about
love this. Oh my god!
Neural network handwriting generation. Someone created a project to use neural network programming techniques to make something try and write in handwriting anything you write.
Now, can you talk about this a little bit? Because I enjoyed it just because I enjoy watching it break, but I don't really understand what it's doing.
So, it's a big topic.
Do you understand what it's doing?
A neural network is basically a quote-unquote learning program. What you do is you set up basically a set of connections that exist between different parts of kind of a digital brain, basically a bunch of little components that represent essentially neurons in this digital brain. And you train it by feeding it input, and it learns to associate stronger or weaker sort of relationships between the different nodes.
So you feed it a bunch of handwriting things, and then it learns to make a handwriting that's unique to it.
Yeah. So you
theoretically?
Feed it, basically you feed it a bunch of glyphs and say, this is what a D looks like. And then it takes
that.
And this is
bed and dog and dumb and.
Well, I think more like letter by letter in this case. So you're teaching it the alphabet, like all these different letters you can write, basically, and you feed it that. And instead of you giving it like a printed out like bitmap of this is the pixels that make up a D, instead it uses its neural network is probably basically breaking it down into little sub shapes of a letter. So it learns that a D has a sort of top. You know, diagonal right curvy bit over here and a long straight bit over here. And so it creates this association of these various bits that make it up. And then it can generate a D by saying, okay, well, if I want to make a D, I feel pretty strongly that I should do sort of a curvy bit here and feel strongly I should put a straight bit here and I shouldn't put a thing there. And so it's just generating.
And it does learn to jam them together because its handwriting has.
Yeah, it's got little ligatures and whatever. So at some level, it's doing that. And so the neat thing is you throw in the text and it'll generate it on the fly by using this sort of output from this trained network. But the failure states, it like learns something wrong or it guesses something wrong based on what it thinks it knows when you throw characters it's not ready for. So if you throw in some like weird Unicode.
Oh, they changed
or
it since last
stuff,
night. Bias has a slider instead of a number.
Ah, interesting.
This is amazing.
But yeah, so it's a neat thing.
I guess that it's just grabbing a handwriting font and then just saying for every glyph, make it slightly random, and then it shows you like three permutations of that, and two or out of the three, everything I tested on looked totally hand done on a piece of paper. Like they don't look computer generated at all. And sometimes you get
weird. And
they're
different because the thing about the handwriting font is that every O looks the same, or sometimes they randomize it a little, so there's three O's, you know? But there's basically not a lot of O's.
These are I think this is insane.
This is science, man.
This seems like this will be used for bad purposes.
I'm not sure there's that much trouble you can get up to.
Silk Road 2 is going to be all handwritten because of this somehow.
I kind of suspect
that. Dude, I love that idea. Wait, say that again. Silk Road 2 is going to all be neural network generated handwriting. That is awesome.
That talk to Bitcoin bills written. I don't know.
Man, but people threw some stuff at it because, some of it's like whatever. Like Matt just did a thing where you type in the Metafilter podcast thread and it looks like shit.
Mine
sometimes it just doesn't work at all. But sometimes, I don't know what the thing was that Griffiths did, where he had, like, spaced out or, like, code, I want to rock and roll all night and wasp eggs every day.
Whoa. Every time
and
I reload it.
And if you click the output link, it fails in this very dramatic fashion. So it's interesting because it helps you kind of look behind the curtain at what in God's name is going on.
You can sort of identify where some assumptions must have been made about what kind of input it had to deal with. And then when it gets something it wasn't expecting, it hasn't been really trained for it.
Wow. Oh,
Who knows what's going on there, but it's awesome.
I reload any of these URLs, they're totally randomly different. So, like, my three Metafilter podcast thread ones are totally realistic.
Yeah,
but
it's generating these in real time. I mean,
I loaded one where it was a mess, but the other ones are great. Wow, this is shocking.
I enjoyed the thread because it was a lot of nerds kind of throwing stuff against it and... I mean, you know, not a lot of people talking about it, mostly just like, I did this, I did that, I did this.
Yep. But it's fun to play with it. Really... It's a neat toy.
And 54 favorites. So another one of those wacky, like, more favorites than comments.
Yep.
Zark did this post on the live music archive over at the archive. Internet Archive has a live music section. And, you know, a lot of these bands, some of them are jam bands, most of them aren't. But these are all bands that have really loose policies where they say, go ahead and, you know, record our concerts and, you know, share it with your little tape buddies.
My favorite one isn't there.
If you go to the Internet Archive, you might be able to find them. These are just selected ones that Zark felt like mentioning because mine wasn't there that I ended up using. But
What's yours?
I was once driving from Seattle to home, so I had like 4 hours.
See, this is where I need a neural pathway thing. Matt started to tell a story. I just don't know the name of the band.
It was Tenacious D. I just knew that they had bootlegs because I remembered bootlegs from the 90s of their early gigs were recorded in L.A. And I was like, I bet those are online somewhere. And I did a Google search in my car and found that they're in the Internet Archive. The problem is, like, the Internet Archive, the music archives are run by Psycho, you know, tape guys. So it's all in, like, FLAC files, and they're
OGG, Ogg Vorbis.
Yeah, they're all ginormous, and they don't have to be, because these are really low-quality audio. So it's, like, and there's a kind of a terrible interface. I ended up having to download, like, 3 different apps that could download FLACs and play them. But
Isn't there a thing you can plug into iTunes? It used to have a thing you could plug in.
Well, I'm on my phone, like, in a car, like, just going, oh that stuff's on a web page, and I want it in my stereo. So I end up having to, like, use an app to download them to the phone and then use another app to play FLAC files on a phone, which is a custom player. You know, and then, like, in 15 minutes, I got it worked out, but I really... Part of me wishes I could work for the Internet Archive and put a damn streaming button.
Let me tell you... Part of you does not wish you worked for the Internet Archive.
Just if they just had a play button, you know, that worked, that would be awesome. You know,
well, don't they? I mean, the Modest Yahoo stuff actually does.
Well, it's just because these crazy FLAC files on a phone.
Oh, Modest Yahoo is actually in the list, which I realized after I was like, Modest Yahoo.
Oxyfruvis? Sorry. there's lots of free music, and they're, you know, spotty audio quality, but, like, good.
So wait, your Tenacious D doesn't have the player just on the page in the corner?
On a phone it doesn't because it's some strange.
Oh, they have
flash.
Like a mobile version that doesn't have all the features.
A flash player or something is terrible.
Mm.
So So they need a mobile. I mean the entire Internet Archive site.
Oh no, this isn't flash.
Kind of work on mobile better. I don't know. What I found all was, like, giant 300 megabyte zip files of FLAX, which I had to download, unpack on my phone, and then play.
See, I'm looking at a non-flash streamer right now. I'm just wondering if their mobile version makes it go away.
I don't think that was there on that. And also, if it's a FLAC file, I think it doesn't work. Like, this one had MP3 and Ogg Vorbs, and if you go to, like, their 90s archives... It wasn't working for me. Let me try and find a Largo pub. 1999. Something was wrong. It just didn't work on mobile, but...
Cool.
Yep, no player because it was only FLAC. Okay.
Grumba, grumba, grumba.
That was my
problem.
But
yeah, no, the stuff they have there is amazing. They have amazing things.
So yeah, that was a nice...
Why is it called Feast Days?
I have no idea. Is that some sort of like jam band reference or something?
I wouldn't know. Just because I live in Vermont doesn't mean I understand all those things.
Fish. No, I mean, that's the E-Tree. This is all from E-Tree.org. They sort of imported their library to the archive, and E-Tree was pretty much a jam band like website in the early 2000s.
I thought E-Tree was over at iBiblio, which is another kind of free culture repository of wonderful stuff.
Right. Yeah. Huh. Oh, so E-Tree is still around. Yeah, look, they say jam bass. Like, the whole thing is jam band based. Yeah. And that's, you know, Brewster probably knows everybody in North Carolina, wherever the
They're all
iBiblio.
Friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, the iBiblio hosts librarian.net. I like them.
Sweet.
And the Internet Archive, I answer support email for them.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, over at Open Library, because it's a ghost chip.
I had a lot of fun talking to several Internet Archive employees about the latest crazy things Brewster's been doing. And in my head, you know, Internet Archive opened a bank, and they're also they're buying apartment buildings for nonprofit employees in Middle San Francisco.
I'm familiar with, yeah,
and
with their plans.
In my mind, I thought, buying the apartment building, awesome. Starting a bank, crazy. And everyone I talked to that works there had the opposite view, where they said, banking? Totally smart. And I went, really? And then they said, buying an apartment building fraught with peril, which...
Well, the banking thing is just a credit union. I mean, it's so heavily regulated, but it's basically, a credit union type of thing. It's a more straightforward proposal. My understanding about the housing is it's more fraught, right?
Yeah.
Because it's hard to make a housing transaction just about housing for people.
Right. And San Francisco's nuts. Everyone knows that.
Right.
But yeah.
Right.
Any other Metafilter posts you love?
Yes. I enjoyed this slightly ridiculous post by Brandon Blatcher, which is, I am a birds' rights activist and fight against anti-birds. It's literally just a single link Twitter account, which most of the time I'm like, whatever. But this is just, I don't know. It's a pro bird. It's like a Twitter account that's run by a bird. And I don't know why it's so funny. Today I shut down a government. I sit in a mailbox. No move until stop give bread squirrel.
This morning
I could be Congress.
Like
bread, 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 and ham. I don't know why it's funny.
Yeah, I don't even know. It's making fun of everybody all at once. It's so good.
It's making fun of everybody, but nobody's really the target, and so the thread is just a bunch of people, basically.
I like it better than every blank Hulk, Twitter. Like, Hulk, the comic book guy, on Twitter, yelling in all caps under the guise of whatever, like feminist Hulk, or like those get tiresome really quick.
Yeah, I mean, I think all this stuff probably gets tiresome after a while, but if you kind of find them when the wave is cresting, I mean, I didn't think I would get tired of the Rick the cat thing, but I actually did get tired of it. I don't know if it got less funny or, I mean, I still like doing Rick, but I don't go read the site anymore, even though the site's got new content on it, because I stopped pushing my funny button. But fighting against anti-bird sentiment is still funny. brief funny.
I love this post about the Golden Goose Awards. What is that? And this reminds me of like the...
Can you pronounce Jordan's username?
Escabeche.
I actually know Jordan, and I will ask him because it makes me crazy. He said it's a good sounding word that I learned at the new now vanished Ox Bahai restaurant in Union Square, Somerville. It has nothing to do with me. Great.
Neat. This is a site that just lists the best science projects that were publicly funded, how much they're funded by, and what was the output of it. Like, this reminds me of, there's a single page website out there called, I think, was it like what the fuck has Obama done lately.com or something?
Oh yeah, I remember that website.
So this is basically for the NSF. This is like, oh, the NSF gets billions of dollars and funds all this stuff, and we throw money at science. What do we ever get out of it? And they basically have annual awards for like the most amazing, when you go through the award the award
diabetes
winners.
Diabetes medicine.
And you go, and if you click on it, you go back to it. It's like diabetes medication all came out of this like little grant from the FDA 10 years ago that was only for like, you know, $500,000. But this one lab discovered this most amazing thing that's actually going to bring in $60 million this year for the company. Like, there's all sorts of...
An ideal bone graft material from coral found. I'd have to click read more to know where. But yeah, that's a nice idea.
Yeah, so
bone
it's basically
grafts from coral.
A one big yay science kind of
nice
site and activity. I'd never heard of it before, and it sounds really cool.
Nice.
And oh, it tells you where all that money's going.
I do have one more that I liked. That was Tommy Edison. I don't know how I missed this guy, but he's blind. He has a YouTube channel. He's got this great sense of humor. Huh. And he talks about what his perceptions are about things like the Great Wall of China or like space or what fog is.
Huh.
And he's like super like chatty, friendly, and just kind of has these short... He's from the Blind Film Critic is how a lot of people know him.
Huh.
And so he just has these sort of chatty, brief YouTube videos about what the world's like for him. And then Larry Bob, who... Quinn posted the thread, and then Larry Bob posted an update that was basically like, and he's got questions for sighted people.
Wow.
So he's just neat, and his YouTube videos are neat, and he's got this great sense of humor, and he talks about what it's like to be a blind guy, and it's neat. I enjoyed it.
Huh.
I've got a... One of my favorite posts I came late to, like a few days after it went up, but it was the dick pic critique.
Oh, yeah.
Tumblr,
yes.
Which I only found
did
out about somehow.
Did not see this.
I was going to talk about this because it's so fascinating.
Where was I?
I don't know. So Jeremy was on shift, clearly, because I found out about this because she mentioned in some unrelated MetaTalk thread a few days later that one of her current most favorited comments is the one in which she's pointing out that she doesn't know that she knows enough about dick to really know whether or not this post should be flagged, which it was flagged a few times, but I'm glad she stuck with it because it's a good post. It's just a good post that happens
to have
some dick.
Wait, are there dick pics on this thread?
In the thread.
No, but I mean, are there on the blog?
On the blog, yes. Yeah, no,
the
blog.
Oh, there you go.
It just straight up reviews dick pics, and it's wonderful because it's straightforward. It's being like, hey, let's talk about what makes a good random picture of your dick to take.
But it's super sincere. It's someone seriously going, let's take the... I mean, I was driving around today going like, why was that fascinating? And I was realizing... It's taking the lowest form of art, the most crude thing in today's culture, which is a photo a dude takes of his dick with his
phone.
Some
of them are women for whatever reason, just FYI.
Yeah, yeah. And like they try to raise it to the like, well, the lighting, it's not technical. It's not like the lighting's bad. It's like, no, you shouldn't just show the whole thing. It should be suggestive. The sexiest pics are like suggestive. Like it doesn't even have to be out of your shorts, And it's like someone who's super sincere about like trying to make the dick pics people send to the blog like better. And it's fascinating.
Your dick pic is anti-erotic and extremely dull.
Yeah.
You've literally done nothing more than line your cock up alongside an inanimate piece of trash in order to compare the two. I want you to have more respect for your cock, and I want you to have more respect for the recipients of your dick pics. That's the worst grade I've seen.
Yep.
And it's like, it's just fascinating that someone's taking, the most crass thing in the world and being super serious about it.
Your dick is slithering out of the frame. I love this website. I am sorry I missed this website. I didn't even follow up on Jeremy's, mentioning that.
I got curious and I had to go look and there it was.
I saw it on my phone.
God bless her. She left a comment about this that I favorited because I was like, seriously, this is one of those posts where it does not need someone to go in and add a not safe for work tag on it. It's really it's pictures of dick pics. How could you possibly be like, well, that sounds safe for work? I'm just gosh, why wasn't I warned? So
it was a gallery of guys named Richard. What the hell?
So it's very nice of her to add that, but I think that's one of the situations where I would have just written the email back saying, you know what, I don't really think it needs it. No, it's nice of you to worry about people, but let's just leave it alone.
That was a very funny.
Right. Well, I think there is a little bit of, I don't know how you say, concern trolling, where people are like, they're not worried about their own jobs, but other people's jobs.
Yes.
You know,
other,
think of the children
very
with jobs.
Foolish people with
I'm
very...
in fact looking at this website for my job
exactly,
today.
Exactly. You know, so it's so, what do you do?
Yeah.
Different experiences. I
with
suppose.
My boss and colleague.
That's not strange at all.
I'm calling
it's
HR.
Not strange at all. Not the first time.
Did you see those weird animated GIFs of a head? I don't even know how this person made it.
Are no, we I mean, talking about dick pics or something
no,
else?
This is a new subject. there's this post by Human Complex called Surrealist Shock, and it's the stunning GIFs of Milos Rajkovic.
Rajkovic?
And if you click on them, there's only like a few comments, and like there are famous military leaders with like weird robots that are in their heads, and I don't even know how you make these animated GIFs as an artist. They're fascinating and disturbing and shocking.
Wow.
Yeah, these are really great.
I saw one of these on Milkshake and didn't know it came from a place, and I missed this post when it went up on Metafilter.
Yeah, I think I saw the one of the infinite zoom of the guy's open
yeah,
head.
That was the one I think I saw.
Yeah, but these, I mean, some of them look like George Bush or something. They're mostly, it looks like right-wing people that they're trying to show like a wacky interior of the head, but...
By Human Complex.
I don't even know how you... I mean, this is like fascinating.
Well, it's like Photoshop, right? I mean, yeah. You Photoshop
frame
one
by
picture,
frame.
But then...
It's so crazy. I can't imagine how much work went into these. And so, yeah, those are just fascinatingly and slightly disturbing.
Fun art.
That is really
and
neat.
A very brief thread. Very brief.
You could just like cycle those as like the backdrop for a gig if you're playing out. You just want some weird
seven
imagery.
Comments, 26 favorites. Well, it's very Butthole Surfers. Josh, yeah. You just left a comment in that thread a minute ago.
I did. I was just now looking at it, and I was moved. I was moved to comment. I was like, there's not enough comments in this thread, and this is amazing. I'm going to just live podcast
comment.
Commenting. It's a
snap out.
It's we're tearing it all down.
Did you guys see the Soviet encyclopedia entry on the United States of America from 1979?
Yeah.
What?
That was just fascinating. I saw this on like a zillion blogs at the same time, including Metafilter, which is just someone found an old entry for what the Soviet like Encyclopedia Britannica in 1979 thought of, you know, here's their entry for the United States of America. I'm sort of like scanned in this free encyclopedia site. And it's just, everything's delightfully slightly weird. And like, it's like, how do you sum up an entire country in like 1,000 words? And so
even though lots of places do it.
Yeah. It's, yeah. And you read it because you know, I mean, as Americans reading it will know so much about that. Some of it just comes off as weird and funny. And it's just kind of slightly strange.
Simon and Garfunkel, who perform their own songs.
It's true. They do.
Again, 49 comments, 46 users marking it as favorites. We had lots and lots of favoriters. Not as many commenters this month, it felt like.
I think it's just the distribution of threads we're looking at, because we're not mentioning any of the threads that had a lot of comments this month, because, hey, remember that time when everybody argued about that thing? Yeah, that was pretty great.
Yeah.
And I just sat there and watched them argue for my job. Right.
Another one I wanted to mention real quick that I liked is a site called AllRGB. This was a post that was made by Albie. And this is a weird thing sort of after my own heart where... They create images. It's like a crowdsourced contest thing where they created images that were 4,096 pixels squared and had every single possible color in the RGB 24-bit color space. And
so it's just 16 million, right?
Yeah, 16 million and change, whatever 2 to the 24th is.
So this is because math, but then how do they even make a recognizable image of anything?
That's the tricky part. You got to do some clever programming to figure out how to, well, yeah.
Probably isn't one of these in black and white?
Yeah, how is that possible?
You just distribute a bunch of complementary colors in the same cluster. If you zoom in all the way on any of these, you'll see a bunch of like static. Very dithered, yeah, sort of multicolored static. But perceptively, once you pull back, yeah, you get a very different thing going on.
So I think Kottke pointed out there was like a field image that looks pretty realistic somewhere. Oh, here's one of a field, Chili Run. Yeah, but yeah, it's fascinating.
But you look at it close up and it looks crazy.
Yeah, it's just a very neat trick in sort of futzing with perception and viewing from a distance.
I like how Reddit's got one. Adorable.
Wow.
That's cool. I enjoy that. What a neat thread by Albi.
Any others for the month?
Oh, you know, I want to mention an older one really quick. Let me actually pull it up. A site called Salty Bet that I've been hearing about this from a couple people like off and on for like a couple months now, but I'd never gone and looked. I finally went and looked the other day. And this is a site that just runs a constant unending stream of 2D video game fighting game characters fighting each other. It's like you were watching a couple of people live streaming themselves, you know, playing Mortal Kombat or something, except for instead of a specific game, it's like 1,500 different characters from a ton of different games, and also some that were never in any game in the first place. Like the Google logo is one of the things that can get in the fight.
Completely confused.
And it just plays forever?
Yeah, they've just got AIs like running them, so it's not people playing. It's just the computer playing against itself, picking two random characters, then they fight to, you know, the best of five rounds, and whoever wins, and you can bet fake money on the site on who's going to win any given round, and you get a payoff based on the odds. And it's ridiculous, it's incredibly stupid, it's broken, it's wonderful.
I'm watching a cat in an airplane fight like some green alien.
Is the chat
real? It's like
real?
Felix the cat?
The chat is real. The chat is people. Yeah, that's Felix the cat fighting. What the hell is that?
Some sort
Red
of swamp
man?
Thing.
Maybe
something from like Ultraman or something.
So
wait,
if we log in at the same time, we're watching the same game.
Yeah, we're watching the same thing.
And Robot Punch. It's crazy.
The music comes with it?
Yeah, the music is streamed by whoever is running it, possibly mostly automatically, but then maybe someone hops in and actually makes specific selections to please or annoy people, and everybody in the chat sometimes totally freaks out about whatever the music is playing and posts like because there's a song that sounds like that, and it's nuts. It's very, you know, it's very like something awful 4chan ish aesthetic, and so the chat can often be sort of terrible at moments, but
can you do anything with your salty bucks?
You can bet them on further matches. It's totally.
You can't
fake.
Like trade them in for skee ball prizes or something.
Nope. just for bragging rights.
That's super weird.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Surrealist theater. Huh. That's wacky.
From August.
Yeah.
Well,
and then Pendulum
has
a very long explanation of.
This is a new battle.
How to psych it out a little.
Yep.
The whole thing is like Markov chains on top of Markov chains or something. I assume the chat was just part of it.
No, the chat's probably, actually people sitting around. There's like 1,700 people watching it at a given time, so some section of that are chatting constantly.
That's weird.
So yeah, just it's a fire hose that flies by.
Wow.
I don't know. It's kind of great. It's weird. It's hard to it's hard to even explain why it's good, but I kind of love it, so.
Man, crazy. You want to move on to Ask Metafilter?
Let's do it.
Sure.
All right.
Ask Metafilter. Here is my favorite asked and answered within 10 minutes question. In fact, you know, it was almost one of the things we would have put in MetaTalk because it was like, I think people talked about this on the website. Maybe this website. Who's that European guy who carried around many pounds of gear with him every single day? And I'm like, that sounds kind of weird. And resurrects it posts in, you know, 7 minutes. This guy, and it was a guy that Joe Beast had posted about in 2009, a guy called Crazy Eric who carries 1,300 items in his clothes. And then if you click through,
whoa,
this guy's like a personal hoarder. But, like, not a hoarder, but, like, he just wants to have, like, every single thing on him. And so he has this very elaborate outfit that carries everything. a little flashlight, some adhesive tape, a small soap flask, a multi-purpose key, a padlock, a wrench, audio plugs and adapters, meal bars, epoxy paste, cutters, meal bars in his pants and his shirt, I guess, glues, a sponge, jokes. One thing just says jokes, but I enjoyed very much re-looking at that old Metafilter post, and I enjoyed how quickly the sort of strange, what is this thing?
That's amazing.
That took like 17 minutes. That's barely fast at all.
And it's not even a description.
Is it 17 minutes?
Yeah, 17.
It's actually pretty damn fast.
Just a European man who carries stuff that doesn't. Yeah, I would have never put it together. And then, of course,
there's a whole Reddit.
Everyday carry is what that's called. Which I think is silly because that's kind of, wow, what people nerd out on. You got a hobby, right? Yeah. I mean,
do you have to have a hobby?
I know. Keys in a flashlight, really? That's a community, but apparently it is. Everyday carry.
I was
looking for favorites the other night, seeing if I missed anything, and I did a search on bike-related Ask Metafilter questions. And just in the last 30 days, there's something like 22 questions. I would have guessed two, maybe three. I was amazed.
No, bike stuff, popular.
Yeah, I had no idea. I guess because summer still-ish, kind of. Sorry, go ahead,
I was going to say, Josh. I liked the how many things can you track on the internet, ask me.
Yeah, me too.
That was on my list also.
I think you may have pointed it out to me. And since I almost never have an ask me to mention, I favorited it at the time. I went back and checked it out. So, by this guy,
you know? Yeah, I might have showed it to you when we did like handoff or something.
Yeah, I think so. But it is great. It's just like, if you just want to be tracking things at all times, here is like 30, 40 things that you can keep an eye on via the internet in a way that would have been totally impossible 20 years ago. So
I didn't know every shipping container in the world kind of has GPS on it, but that makes sense.
Yeah, because they, you know, anything that turns into money basically has a way that people can track it so that they don't just vanish.
Oh, my God. Vermont is in peak foliage right now. It's all red.
Actually, peak foliage was 2 days ago because it's been raining.
Oh, bummer. So it's knocking them off.
Burlington may be different. You know, we're up at a higher elevation and it's been colder. Yeah. I mean, I think it's still freaking lovely here. But if you're, oh my God, when is peak?
Yeah.
The answer may be. It was a couple days ago.
Yeah, probably so.
We've got an actual.
It's not like you're coming to visit.
We've got a tree that actually has leaves that change color in our front yard now. It's very exciting because, you know, in the Pacific Northwest, there are deciduous trees. You can find, you know, color change, but it's not like the ubiquity. You know, we've got a whole lot of evergreens here. So now we've got our own personal color changing tree in our front yard. It's like the nature's version of a hyper color T-shirt. It's very exciting.
There's a picture of my yard. FYI. Neat.
They're showing Portland's, what's Multnomah County, is showing as peak, and the other counties are on their way. I usually go out the first week in November around here, but I just drove to Bend, and it was beautiful all the way there, and yellow and red, and I was thinking, oh, man.
Did you see the lava tube caves?
A month early. No, I didn't have time, but...
My favorite thing.
It's pretty beautiful right now. Neat.
I'm trying to track down the other Ask Metafilter thread that... It went in tandem with the what can you track, which was what are the good like collector websites, but I didn't find it, didn't favorite it at the time, but it was basically like what are websites that have, I'll track it down before we wrap up, but websites that have kind of, these are the best websites that collect this, that, or the other, like all the best this, all the best that, like cataloging websites, I guess. Maybe that's the word I'm looking for. So websites that index and organize sets of things. I'll try and find it. Niche catalog sites.
Oh, did you find it? I found it.
Wait, I found it. There's not a lot of stuff, though, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, abandoned airfields, misery cords of the world. I don't even know what a misery cord is.
My favorite thing in college.
I think I did. What is a misery cord? I know what that is. I was just reading about that the other day.
I'm looking at a picture of them, and I don't even know what they are. Sorry.
Those things under mantles?
It's a sit. It's a sit. I talk good. It's a little shelfy seat on like a pew. Yeah, if you're standing around all fucking day being all liturgical and shit, you can sort of scoot your ass up there and be like, "Hey guys, I'm totally standing, but I'm sitting." Oh, but we're all cool.
You can perch.
There was a mercy seat post on Metafilter. I'm pretty sure
that's probably where I was looking at.
Because I'd never heard of it before, like last week. That Catholicism isn't completely suffering. There was such thing as mercy seats. That was kind of nice to know. Mercy.
But yeah, I enjoyed that one in line with what else can you track over the internet.
Oh, there it is. The mercy seat post. Yeah, it's from like a couple weeks ago.
And you guys know the dialect, you know, what dialect are you stuff that people do all the time. And it just hit IO9 a couple days ago when I was trying to figure out. I spent yesterday trying to line up my dialect with where do other people live who talk like I do. It placed me in like Connecticut, which made me unhappy.
Well, that's not super inaccurate. That's close-ish.
No, it's Massachusetts. It kind of makes sense because I grew up in Mass and my parents grew up in New York. So
yeah, and there's a lot of weird give and take with what you pick up from your parents that throw those things off a little bit.
I can't remember how I say certain words. Pecan, pecan, I don't know.
Oh, right.
I'm a pecan guy.
I say it in my head.
I usually
say it. What about pecan pie? Do you say pecan pie?
No, I say pecan pie.
Okay.
You can say pecan pie if you're giving me a slice. I will say thank you for the pecan pie. But otherwise, it's a pecan. You know, you make a pie of pecans, it's a pecan pie.
That's what I was thinking of. I pronounce mostly weird foods from other parts of the world how the chefs or people who make them pronounce it. Like, that's the only time I say things like the South is when, yeah, like pecans. I like this thread about the is there a map of dirt by color of the nation?
Well, sure, you're a soil scientist.
I know, I got to pull out my knowledge that no, like, there's too much local variability on color alone. Like, it can vary in one field by a ton based on parent material underneath, but there are actually, like, I think 12 soil orders or 11 soil orders, and someone
does
point
out the
map.
Dude, you got a best answer.
Yeah.
You're going places on this website, buddy.
My favorite dumb soil fact is one of the soil orders is... it's an entire order of soil that occurs where the temperature only changes by 10 degrees a year, like from winter to summer, like hottest day to the coldest day of the entire year is only 10 degree change of Fahrenheit. And it's only the coast, the very upper coast of California, is basically socked in with fog, like up by Mendocino and stuff, where like the temperature is always like 55 degrees Fahrenheit, just basically plus or minus 5 degrees for 365 days a year.
Huh. So I had no idea. That's neat.
There's one weird soil that's just across the coast there. That's the only place it occurs in the entire planet.
Lose weight quick with this one weird soil.
Yeah.
I liked this. We were talking about the Soviet encyclopedia entry and sort of in a similar vein of summing up a country in very few words. This question for this morning... I'm wondering how Civil War is taught in schools outside the U.S. And the funny thing is most of the answers are, well, it's not so much. I mean, we were in a different country. Yeah, you guys had a war inside your own borders. It wasn't really
our thing. No one gives
a
shit.
Well,
right.
Ask us to talk about like an Italian Civil War from 200 years ago. We'd be like, what? There was one?
Yeah.
Well...
I mean, most people.
Well, ask high school students based on the curriculum. I mean, not to say no one doesn't, you know, no one knows about them, but yes.
So, right, yeah, high school was basically like we learned about Vietnam, and that was the only thing in another country that wasn't one of the world wars.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's kind of tied into, America had slavery, and then they had this war, and it was gone, it seems like, is the consensus.
There's your sentence. There's your sentence in Sweden.
I could not believe.
Oh, what?
I wanted to mention the Emmy one, like that you mentioned on the Best of blog. Like,
loved it.
Someone said, "Oh, what's on the bottom of the Emmys?" I kind of see in a picture, and you put it on the Best of blog pretty soon after because a couple people are like, "Oh,
I'll just look at the one in my office.
I'll look at the one above my desk," And we're like, wait, what? Like three people. And then the thread just kept going. And there's like, yeah, half a dozen people have access, instant access to an Emmy.
Can go and touch an Emmy and look at it, or have know a person who can look at it.
And I've seen one in a glass case once or twice, probably ever in my life. Like, I was amazed.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. And I thought it was fun to put it on the blog. This was an Ask Metafilter thread that I enjoyed my feedback on, but I'm mostly posting it because it has a happy ending. Basically, Metterby was like, I got to get a computer for my 95-year-old grandmother so she can use Skype. So, blah, 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 doesn't have good eyesight. I've got experience with Windows. Not totally. Maybe I'll have TeamViewer. What about antivirus? And the whole bunch of people are like, dude, seriously, maybe think about an iPad? You know, and you don't want to be a jerk, right? Because the guy's like, I'm doing this, but help me. But got a lot of good feedback from people. I think he was concerned. He, she, oh, good gracious.
He, and I think it's M.E. Darby.
Mark. Oh, M.E. Darby, thank you.
Oh, me Darby.
I think he was concerned that he couldn't connect it to the router. Like, she didn't have the router. She did blah, 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 blah. At any rate, it wraps up with a very nice, hey, this went better than I hoped. I got an iPad for my grandmother. We put Skype in a solitaire news and weather app, hid everything else, drilled my mom on it, and now she uses it all the time, and most of her kids are on Skype, and so now people can yada, yada, yada. Thanks, everyone, for your input and basically making me give up on the cheap laptop idea and go with the more expensive but easier iPad concept, blah. So I was happy.
Yeah, that's cool. That's
and everybody was nice about it. Like, no one was like, you're being an idiot. You need this. And he wasn't like, shut up. I'm not doing that. I told you already.
These are things. This is how mods think of the world. Because someone, of course, goes off on, like, we should all have Android stuff. But nobody jumps on that.
Or, like,
and goes,
I'm going to get my Nana a Linux box. And right. Everyone's like, come on.
Ubuntu for 95-year-olds.
Which, you know, maybe you could make it work, but it's less likely to work.
This follows my own path with my dad, which is, like, virus-laden PC in his 70s, like...
Right.
Like, I moved him onto an iMac, and then he somehow broke that. So I eventually moved him to, like, a Google Chromebook that came out a couple years ago. Because it's like,
oh, nice.
It's just a browser. You lift it open, you run the browser. How could you screw that up? For some reason, he screws that up. And I was like, okay, I'll just give him an iPad. But then, like, is an iPad too confusing for someone who's had a stroke and had some brain damage? But turns out, yeah, he loves the iPad and uses it all the time.
Excellent.
Perfect.
So, yeah, iPads. That's the... Did you see this? This is fascinating thread on the creepy packages. I wish there was some closure on it, but there isn't. And this might be some sort of ARG, I have no idea, or some weird con.
I did see that.
Yeah, so it's someone who just shows up one day and there's a return to sender package that's going to someone they don't know, and their name is the sender, and it's at their doorstep, and it's so weird. It happened a couple times.
And it's got, like, one package has, like, a hairbrush in it. One has some random stuff in it.
And it's like, I don't know who these are being sent to or why they're being sent back, and I don't understand. What's the scam here? And people are like, I wish there was sort of some closure, but there isn't. And they're not mailed from the same place. Right, like
right,
they,
from Tessellations 999.
They were from Chicago, but the return address is in California where they are at, and they're getting sent back to California. And, like, yeah, some sort of weird credit scam.
It's the sort of thing where if there was a little bit more detail to it, I'd be suspicious that it was, like, the lead up to some sort of ARG or something.
Right, right.
After Horse Ebooks and the pronunciation book, it's like, we're just trying to believe it. Because 61 questions, that's exactly how many
I'd ask. Were you bummed
out about
that, Josh?
I was not overly, because I never really got very invested in either. Like,
yeah.
I was mildly curious to see what would happen. But, yeah, I was not really a big subscriber to the Church of Horse Ebooks, because it seemed like... I don't know. I think it's something about having done so much playing around with Markov chains and other sort of things in that vein. I've gotten really used to seeing people overinvest in questionable analyses of how sure they really are that something is or is not being faked. And
I
think I tend to just ride a little bit farther back in the pack when it comes to, like, even just developing a sense of investment in something like that. Because, like, you know what? I know I don't know enough to know for sure what's happening here. And if something's happening that's not what I think it's happening, that will almost certainly be a disappointment of some sort. So I'm just going to, I'll just wait to see. Other people can get emotionally involved, and then I'll just sort of hear about the outcome on Metafilter.
Yeah.
I never thought it was that funny, so I would just wait till people, like one person a week would retweet a funny one, and I'd go, oh, huh. So finding out it was like mostly human, I was like, yeah. No biggie.
Yep.
And we talked about the pronunciation pod fake movies a couple podcasts ago.
Yeah, well, and I think I had Josh explain it to me at that point.
And we knew it was like running into, it was getting wackier and wackier, and there was going to be some end game eventually. So I was kind of like, oh, so that was the end. Like them just, you know.
Yep, that's
saying.
It.
Yep. We were just joking around. It's weird that they work with BuzzFeed. That's the part that upsets me the most.
Yeah.
See, that's the part that upsets me the most, too.
Well, it's interesting to me
else on Earth.
To see the sort of long-haul thing. Like, it's interesting because it changes the game slightly. Because, like, the one thing you could usually say about weird bullshit hoaxy stuff is no one has the patience to literally set it up for 3 fucking years, though.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, actually, no... Now we know that people do have the patience to do that, even if they don't have anything great to do with it. Just to fucking do it, just to do it because you thought they wouldn't, because who would bother, they bothered. Which is
right,
kinda...
because the whole end of it was something that wasn't even that interesting, is my understanding.
Yeah. Well, how can you possibly have something as interesting as the mystery of doing
something? 3 years of mystery, right.
Yeah, I mean,
right, it's
like
the monster in the closet thing.
Yeah, exactly. So... Which is, I mean, and that's, I guess that goes back to the whole stage magic thing, right? That's how you pull off good stage magic, is you do something that's way harder than anybody would think you would bother to do. Like, it's not that it's magic, it's that you actually spent an enormous amount of effort figuring out how to do some stupid, subtle little thing that anybody,
right.
You know, even if someone could guess the trick, they'd be like, well, I guess someone could do boo, but God, that would take so fucking long to figure out.
You'd have
out.
To raise special mice to,
That'd take months, it'd take years. Fuck that. No, it must be something
Speaking
else.
Speaking of which, I just saw that Now You See Me, like, I don't know if it was straight to video or whatever.
Oh, that cheesy magic movie. I saw it in the theater.
It's surprisingly, I mean, it's formulaic, but I enjoyed it because it's Jesse Eisenberg playing someone who's unlikable, which I appreciated. And and Woody Harrelson's in it, and he's pretty good. And I don't know if it comes up on your Netflix, don't necessarily.
Why did
skip
it have to have
it?
Like 3 or 4 twist endings? I'm getting tired of like movies trying to be complicated and interesting.
But it was like straightforward, complicated as complications go. Like they made sure by the end of it you understood what was happening.
Right.
Not too smart. I enjoyed, only because this is a local thing, and you guys may not even appreciate this, Greg Nogg's question about whether nationally broadcast fictional TV programs have featured candlepin bowling, which, as you should know...
I don't even know what that is.
Candlepin bowling is a special regional kind of bowling where you have little balls like that fit in your hand so they don't have any holes,
like,
and the pins
ball.
Are straight up and down. They're straight up, they're candle pins. They look like candles. And you get 3 balls instead of 2. And I grew up thinking that's what bowling was in Massachusetts because that's all we had for bowling.
You do that indoors? Wow, they have bowling
alleys. It's just like
it's a bowling,
bowling alley.
Just they fucked everything up somehow.
Ah, it's a little weird.
Yeah, and so the funny thing is, of course, like, we not only grew up with that bowling, but, like, there was candlepin TV shows. So there was, like, Bowling for Dollars, where you would see people from, like, your neighborhood bowling and raising money. And it's almost impossible to bowl a perfect game, or impossible, I don't remember. And there's still a lot of these lanes around. So where I am in Vermont now, I can't go candlepin bowling. But when I go back and visit my mom, I can't go regular ball bowling.
So do you do 10 sets like normal bowling?
I think so. It's been a long time since I remembered how to do it, but I grew up with a bowling alley right up the street from the high school, and so we'd go out to play video games and bowl, and like that was our little hangout, you know, in whatever, the mid-80s. And I don't know, Greg Nogg is from the same area, I think, although he's just moved to somewhere. But it was an interesting little thread about, you know, an interesting little very regional activity.
So yeah, and I grew up on the West Coast where bowling is normal, correct bowling, and no one had ever heard of candlepin. And I went to school in Massachusetts.
Well, that's what I thought.
And so
yeah.
That was the first time I was even exposed to the concept. I remember just having this mind blown conversation where we were talking about bowling, but we were clearly discussing different things, and it was like, what the hell are you talking about?
Right, because you don't learn about it as candlepin bowling. You learn about it just like bowling.
Yeah.
And so it's very weird to talk to somebody else for whom bowling means a completely different thing.
Like as they call it, or as they call it in France, toast. You know, it's
right. No, that's bread. You put it there. Oh my god.
That's so weird. Duck pin bowling is shorter, squattier, but also
duck
the
pin
small...
is fun. I played
duck Midwest.
Pin
Midwest
in a Milwaukee bowling alley where they had live pin setters.
Oh, wow.
Like these kind of surly teenage kids who sat in like a cage.
Yeah, my dad did that in high school.
And smoked cigarettes while you drank your beer. And that's really very fun.
I would have to do any sort of bowling where surly teenagers smoke and set up the pins manually. That would be...
And I think there might be a bowling thing like Hardcore Taters or whatever their name was. They won the big trivia match and like won a couple $100s. And I think they were going to do a Lanes and Games thing where people will go big ball bowling and probably all talk about candlepin bowling all night.
Nice.
Huh. Yeah.
I had one other ask me from this very morning, actually. Griffiths asking, how do adult human beings get shit done after work? Basically saying, hey, I've got a stressful job. I'm sort of fried when I get home, you know, and I end up watching a couple hours of TV and then go to bed. And then that's my day. And how do I, you know, reclaim some of this? How do I find a way to...
Isn't that how normal people operate?
Well, I think that's a lot of people in the thread are saying, yeah, I hear you. This is what I found worked for me. And so people are talking about, you know, changing the pacing of your day, inserting a really devoted bit of downtime right after work so you can feel more about doing whatever's left with the rest of your day, you know, managing... Because he talks about some ADHD medication being an aspect of it and, you know, changing the pacing of that. And anyway, it's full of a bunch of good advice. I feel kind of weird because a lot of it is stuff like I have the cushiest, most relaxed sort of job ever. And that's one of the things I love about working here is that I actually can sneak in a lot of random stuff during the day. I'm not like work, you know, eyes beady 10 hours a day plus a commute or anything. So a lot of the stuff, it's kind of like, oh, well, yeah, I can see how that'd be useful more than it's useful for me.
Right. But, I checked my email while I was at my job. Yeah. That's okay.
But some of it's even interesting to me to say, oh, I guess that is a good way of thinking about it. And so, yeah,
it's
a good thread. It's about a lot of practical sort of life experience from people. And I remember having a job more like this where,
exactly.
This would have been useful stuff to think about more. So
this was like 25 to 30. Like, this was just my life. Yeah. I mean, there was nothing. There's no.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of what I did, too. I mean, especially when I was younger, where I just had these office jobs and then you come home and just blah. Yep. Or go out, which I don't know how then I woke up the next day and went to work. Literally, with the energy I have now, I mean, you know, I do things in the evening, but they're low-key, mostly.
Yep.
Although I did go see a drag show in Barrie, Vermont this weekend, which was really, really fun.
Hmm.
It was a fundraiser for our local health clinic.
That was cool. Those really big cars and the racing down the strip.
Anything else on Ask Metafilter?
I just enjoyed this one as kind of a slightly survey the audience, but everybody learns a thing, which is Copper Moss says, when people call my cell phone and don't leave a voicemail, I don't call them back. Should I? Is there a cultural expectation I'm not aware of? And I remember back before I really had a smartphone, I had just a dumb phone, and I would have certain friends who would just call and never leave a message, and I would never call them back because they didn't leave a message. And then they were like, why don't you ever call me back? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And for them, in their culture, you know, slightly younger friend, not that much younger, but you just call and hang up. Like, you don't leave a message. Nobody wants to listen to a message. And over time, I've become a person who calls back everybody, including hang-ups, which confuses a lot of people who aren't expecting it. And I never listen to voicemail messages anymore because there's never basically any reason to, almost. And so it's interesting, you know, there's a ton of comments, 93 answers, with different people talking about how it works with their people. You know, and they're almost all kind of Western cell phone users. And so it's interesting just reading the different ways that people
Yeah, my wife had actually mentioned this to me yesterday, as just really after I'd been navigating some left messages from family trying to organize a thing, I've been meaning to come back and read this because it is really interesting, because I've got not super strong feelings, but I've got definitely, you know, I've got my way of dealing with these things depending on the situation and who it is and what the timing is and whether texting or emailing will work with them, of it is just what I've decided to do, not like what is obviously what other people are expecting to do. So it's navigating that when there's no real rule book for this is a weird
And some people think there's more of a rule book than others, and part of it depends on how badly you want to get in touch with other people versus how badly they want to get in touch with you.
Yeah, well, and I feel like if there's a rule book, it's got to be, you got to put it out there, you got to be like, hey, by the way, this is how I like to do this to other people, if you want them to know how you're expecting it to happen, because obviously there's this huge mix of sort of opinions and varied approaches.
Right,
people
but
have.
I think with a lot of etiquette, there's some standard that you know that you're outside of or not outside of. And I feel like with, you know, cell phone message return, there may not be as much of a standard as some people think there might be. Maybe? Yeah. I don't even know.
Well, and that's the thing, because, like, what is etiquette? Is etiquette, you know, an official established rule book for something? Or is it the shared, you know, consensus expectations about some subset of a behavior? And I think people take different approaches to that.
Right, that is etiquette kind of a you and your community-focused thing, or is it an external thing so that everybody's on the same page? Yeah.
Exactly, and I think it varies to some extent from thing to thing, too, is part of the problem, because there may be things, like there's people who can tell you what wedding etiquette is if, of course, you read the correct book.
Right.
But that's, you know, that's not the same thing as applying to every single wedding, and what might exist for weddings is not going to exist for some other things that are more loosely structured, even regardless of how strong people's opinions are. And
reminds me of one of the threads that I wasn't really going to mention because it was a little strange. Not the thread itself, but the responses to it, because it was one of those wedding threads.
I never read a wedding thread. That's my life.
Well, this was Backseat Pilot is getting married, and I adore Backseat Pilot just as a person. And number two, he's getting married to a woman who he, you know, met. I mean, I remember him asking questions about, you know, meeting people even. And now he's met this woman who's really nice and he's going to get married. And they're going to have this kind of cocktail party wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And he's really excited about it. But his caterer was kind of like, I don't know. And so he's basically asking questions about, like, how do we do this right? And people gave him a lot of really good advice, but probably 25% of the answers were just basically people telling kind of wedding horror stories and or telling this guy he was a jerk to his friends and family because reasons. And so it was just, you know, as a kind of a Martian myself, I find these things interesting to read. As a moderator, I'm like, oh, come on.
Make a fucking effort,
people.
Come on. Don't be a dick.
And I think Backseat Pilot had good humor about the whole thing and maybe made some changes based on some feedback. And he really had asked, like, look, if you've gone to these things and they were terrible, like, we want to have a good wedding, not we don't want to, you know, annoy our friends. But there was a lot of odd responses. And a lot of it was focused on etiquette, you know, and about people expect a meal. If you're not offering a meal, grump, 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 kind of. So it was interesting to read.
Yeah.
I could see why a caterer would be, like, not into it, because they're going to get less money, I guess. But I also thought it was a good idea to, like, have a stand-up, eat lots of finger foods, as long as you communicate that to everybody. Like, there is not going to be a big plate of fish.
I think that's the tricky part. It's not so much a question of whether it can work, because no question it can work. It's a question of whether it's going
to
be a problem with the guests assuming that something else and that is going
to
happen, which I can see that side of it.
Well, and if you have it at 6 o'clock, then when do people have dinner? And what about people with kids? And what about yada, yada, yada?
Yeah,
I mean, there's a whole bunch
of,
well, actually, nerd behavior in that thread. But, you know, I think ultimately it worked out okay. I hope Backseat Pilot didn't feel weird about it. I mean, because there's definitely been a couple Ask Metafilter threads over the last month where people just got some sort of savage tough love answers that I felt like maybe did not need to be quite so tough love.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Is that about it for the podcast?
Yeah, I had a couple things to mention that people brought up in MetaTalk, just nice little things that people should know about.
I can do a music minute as well.
That'd be great. Do you want to do it first or last?
I'm fine either way.
All right.
After you, well, my dear Alphonse.
Thanks. Basically, just two things. Scientists had asked us if we could make some changes to Metafilter chat, the web-based chat. We did move over to a new server. Things should all be worked out. Thanks for everybody's patience. But scientists was like, I do it this way, and the sidebar's too big. And PB was like, yeah, we really don't want it. Like, it's hard to make the changes. But PB worked with scientists to make a little user style that makes it slightly easier, better. I don't even remember if it hides it or it, oh, it turns it off.
Yeah. I think you can tweak a couple things, really. So
if you're somebody who really likes web-based chat, but you find the sidebar problematic or too large or whatever, and you don't mind installing Stylish for Firefox or Chrome, you can have it the way you want it. Thank you to scientists for putting it together.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, which is exactly the same general heading, is Ignicknocked, who gets, most podcasted user of the month, basically wrote a little Chrome extension that will put all the YouTube videos that are linked on a page one after another in a player. So if you've got a thread and you love it and it's got 50 videos and you just want to watch videos, not go back to the thread and click next and go back to the thread and click next, you can use this, and apparently it works fairly well. There's a lot of people kind of helping him debug some stuff in the thread.
Create a playlist, kind of, so the same
Yeah,
window.
It basically makes a playlist, and then you can just play through it. And there was some question as to whether playlists will go on the playlist, but I think they actually worked that out, but I'm not totally sure. But it was just really cool. It sounds like he's been busy, and it made people really happy. And if you don't read MetaTalk that often, this is a thing you should know about, because it's really cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well then, Metafilter Music Minute. People keep posting nice things on the site that are fun to listen to, so you should go listen to them. But some specific ones, there's just this morning, there's this really great Prince cover by new user GrumpyBear69, which is a pretty great username. It's this really great, very different tonal approach, but really, really slick sounding, and sort of really fun take on that Prince song as more of a downbeat love song sort of thing. There's a little bit of jazz from TMCW. It's just a nice, quick little jazzy number. I just pasted instead of copying. There's this electronic sort of little pop thing from user Sokka Shot First.
Sokka Shot First, always good music from them.
Yes, Dream Job Music Producer 321 Contact in 1982 is the title, which gives you a very good sense of the flavor of the thing.
Discovered a tutorial about how to create a convincing shitty old tape effect, and then upgraded my phone and heard the new ringtones. Oh, come on. This is awesome.
It is fantastic. More short jazzy stuff, this time from user Grog. Little noodly bit called Instant Ramen. Ha ha ha. So that was like a borderline fake laugh. Ha ha ha.
A 1 minute doodle. But,
yes. But I actually actually, I appreciate it. And then nice. We've got the raffle thing going on. It's the challenge right now in music where people can sign up to get a random challenge that was mailed in by a random MFI user. You can get assigned it and then try and do that. So people are starting to
Jim
get some of those recorded.
Jim and I are working on one.
Excellent. Me too. I got an epic one. It's going to be hard to get put together just because it's asking a lot. But
ours is a baby song. And nice. So we've made a little, like, we learned some information about the baby and what the baby likes, and the baby likes some kind of special kid song that I don't know anything about, but since Jim's a parent, he knows what this genre of song. The problem is we keep making these, like, fun little verses, and then we wind up making these kind of, like, Edward Gorey verses about terrible things happening to the baby. And then we start laughing, and then we start being like, we're terrible people. We need to put this aside. And then it's been hard to
just
get back to.
Just save it. You can make a B-side version of the song.
That's exactly what we're going to do.
One more. So the raffle thing, there's an entry that has been posted by user Greenish from unnamed, I think. I don't know if unnamed by design or if it just wasn't clear what should happen there. But some challenger sent in as a challenge, I think, some sheet music. So an actual arrangement of a song. And then Greenish recordance, a song called Verbena. And is being all apologetic about the low recording quality and sketchy take. But it actually sounds fucking great. It's just beautiful. So it's a very nice
Wonderful.
Track. And I'm looking forward to seeing what else comes out of the raffle thing. I think people are slowly sort of working their way in there. So,
oh my God, Greenish has a beautiful voice. Holy cow.
I think I've got some stuff by Greenish on my regular rotation that I listen to at home, if I recall.
How is this terrible? This is crazy.
I think the standards. Musicians are thinking about different things recording than you might be thinking about just hearing it. It's tricky. You know when you didn't get what you wanted is, I think, the biggest thing when you're working on a recording.
Right. Yeah. If you're a romantic, you know what it sounds like ideally in your head, and so you know that it's far from that, even if it's great according to everybody else.
Exactly. It's a weird thing. Anyway, those are some highlights. There's more stuff too, but
jeez. That is amazing. I think that song will close it out. Like, holy cow, it's good.
Perfect.
Sweet. Awesome.
Good. Well, good talking to you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like only yesterday that I gave you a ring in my vow, but I find that years have passed, though I'm still